As Unitarian Universalists, we find wisdom and inspiration from many places. Jewish and Christian scriptures and other sacred texts, the arts, science, nature, and our own experiences. Our tradition keeps us open to revelation from many sources. Today's wisdom comes from the Reverend Dr. Tandeka, who is a Unitarian Universalist theologian, journalist, and congregational consultant. So this is the grown-up version of Alexander's story. Despair is my private pain, born from what I have failed to say, failed to do, failed to overcome. Be still, my inner self. Let me rise to you. Let me reach down into your pain and soothe you. I turn to you to renew my life. I turn to the world, the streets of the city, the worn tapestries of brokerage firms, crack dealers, private estates, personal things in the bag lady's cart. Rage and pain in the faces that turn from me, afraid of their own inner worlds. This common world I love anew, as the lifeblood of generations who refuse to surrender their humanity in an inhumane world course through my veins. From within this world, my despair is transformed to hope, and I begin anew the legacy of caring.
So a couple of friends were walking down the road one day. It seems like they didn't really expect anything good to come out of their particular terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Now, this is a story usually reserved for Easter or the week following Easter sometimes, the ending chapters of the life of Jesus. But we are Unitarian Universalists, and we can get creative with the liturgical calendar if we want to, so I'm going to preach it today. Trust is your theme for this month, I've been told. And this is a story of trust, sort of, and of deeply hoping for something that we hope and pray and trust is just right around the next bend in the path. It's a story I've heard all my life growing up in the Pentecostal church, never quite identified with it in my devotee years as deeply as I do now in my heretical years. See, this is a story of two guys who were deeply disillusioned by people not being who they say they are, by not doing what they say they will do, by not making the difference we believed that they could make. It's a story of being heartsick, crestfallen, and let down hard. It was getting toward evening, and these two heavy-hearted and still quite shaken friends were leaving Jerusalem to head back to their rural village after witnessing the politically motivated execution of their beloved teacher, their guru, their rabbi, their guy that they were sure could win the political races if he'd just throw his hat in the ring, their friend, Jesus. They, like nearly everyone else around, had watched this public crucifixion just days before and were still in a state of disbelief, deep grief, and probably in a whole lot of fear of who might be next. That was the climate of the day. And in the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke in Christian scripture, we find their story outlined briefly. There are a lot of human details left out, but I'm going to fill in the blanks anyway, since that's exactly what Luke did decades after the events when he was a very old man, sketchy on the details, as we tend to become the further removed from them we are. What we know is that these two friends of Jesus were heading to a little town called Emmaus, and that they were talking about the horrible events of the week as they walked. And of course, they were, because what else would they have been talking about? It was the only thing on everyone's minds. And the scriptures I cited indicate that Emmaus, the place where they were headed, was about 7.5 miles away from Jerusalem. So, a pretty good walk. What I discovered, however, in my research when this sermon was just a spark of inspiration in my heart, was that we don't actually have any definitive knowledge of where that ancient little town of Emmaus was on the outskirts of Jerusalem. I found no less than 40 possibilities, but scholars now think they may have narrowed it down to about 4 or 5 best guesses. It doesn't exist in modern times, hasn't existed on any maps that have made their way through time to us, but they're sure it was really around there somewhere. The word itself, the word Emmaus, is a derived hybrid of a word filtered through Greek and Latin from a Semitic word we have no idea the correct pronunciation of. Irony of messing up there. But the meaning of which was something like warm spring. So here were these two friends, backs to Jerusalem, walking toward somewhere else, some unspecified final destination that sounded like warm spring. Well, that metaphor is just about as subtle as a kick in the head. There have been times in my life when I have needed to turn my back on the scene of my greatest heartbreak, my deepest grief, and just walk toward anywhere but here with visions of warm spring to guide my steps. Surely it's just around the next corner. The groundhog concurs, apparently. Warm spring is somewhere on the horizon, so I just keep walking. So I understand this impulse, this expectation of something better, this need to keep moving away from that and toward this, no matter how heavy my heart, no matter how unsure my future, no matter how brutally they just crucified my highest hopes and fondest dreams. But a peculiar thing happened on this journey, and that's what makes this walk home worthy of having been recorded and shared with throughout the generations. Now, we are not particularly known in Unitarian Universalism for our belief in miracles or resurrection from the dead, for taking holy text literally when it doesn't make logical sense. I don't know if you know this about us or not, but we tend towards skepticism of the mystical and the magical. We don't talk much in our post-service coffee hours about the resurrection of Christ, even on Easter. Some scholars believe that the story of Jesus' resurrection and all of the post-death sightings actually could have happened, but the stories were filtered through the understanding of people who didn't realize the guy wasn't actually dead when they put him in the tomb, just unconscious, and like Mark Twain and Carlos Santana, the rumors of his death were greatly exaggerated. We weren't there, so we can't know exactly, but suddenly, here he is, right in the printed text, so it must be true, joining these two grieving men on their walk, and he asks them why the long faces. Well, here's where this story lost me as a younger person. All the times I heard it preached about, which were many, they lost me at the part where Jesus' friends, so broken up about losing him, look straight into his face and have no idea who the guy is. They think he's a total stranger. They ask him rude questions about whether or not he's been living under a large rock to not know what's going on. And then they tell him all about the murder of their friend, Jesus. 4 years, this part seemed more ludicrous to me than being a believer in the literal resurrection, which I most definitely was. And then a few summers ago, during a hospital chaplaincy internship, as I heard this story again for the first time in many years at the ordination of my friend and mentor, Sally, into the ministry of the United Church of Christ, I got it. I really got it for the first time that it is not only possible, but it has happened to me countless times in my life. I have been so busy on the road to anywhere but here, stuck in my story, retelling it to anyone who was unfortunate enough to have been dragged in to listen. And suddenly I was met on the path by hope. And for the life of me, I didn't recognize it. You ever done that? I've done that. This story isn't so ridiculous to me anymore because I have cried at night begging to be loved and cared for while Hope was standing next to me with an invitation to come over for dinner, and I didn't even hear her ask at first because I was too busy screaming at the sky about not having enough groceries to feed my kid. I've done that. I've thrown mad fits about how unfair it is that I'm always stuck with the old, ugly, broken down cars while Hope is trying really hard to hand me the keys to hers, saying, use mine this week, I won't be needing it. That's happened to me. I've discovered, like these stuck in their story, beloveds from Emmaus, that hope doesn't really have a glowing halo like those Renaissance painters hallucinated. But sometimes hope just walked out of a tomb where it was presumed dead. It has crusted blood streaks all over its face, which is swollen and absolutely unrecognizable to a preoccupied traveler. Of course they didn't know who he was. That'd be ridiculous. No one expects a dead hope resurrection on some awful random Monday afternoon commute, and certainly not one in filthy burial clothes, limping from horrific foot wounds in desperate need of a bath. And so they walked all the way home with Jesus right there beside them, clueless about his identity. And then, like good Unitarian Universalists, they invited the poor guy in for dinner because they thought they were the ones doing him a favor. Just like maybe that time hope showed up for you in the form of a terrified, stray, starving puppy that you took in even though it was inconvenient. Never expecting that it was she who was actually saving you, but that's how it happened, and you can't imagine your life without her now. Does that ring true for anybody? See, I don't have a neat and tidy way to gift wrap hope in regards to the things that are heavy on our hearts. And some of us always come into these places with heavy hearts. Maybe we have stopped expecting good things from our politicians. Maybe, just a thought. Maybe we've stopped expecting that we can ever be a place of true refuge for refugees without a fight. Maybe we've stopped hoping that gun violence will ever cease. Maybe we don't expect any elections to bring about any hope and change ever again. And maybe like our Buddhist friends and among us, possibly, we would be better off detaching ourselves from expectations altogether. But I find it really, really hard to do that. And the point of not expecting hope in the package in which it will show up is that we can't tell each other where to look. We can't tell ourselves and each other to expect the unexpected, because that's trite, impossible. It hurts my brain to try it. But I can remind us that while we are hightailing it down the road to anywhere but here, finding hope where we least expect it is not unprecedented. I can encourage myself and you, beloved community, to keep our hearts open to the possibility that the wounded being walking right alongside us is herself the very miracle we never thought in a million years we could witness. Sometimes it turns out our Savior just needs a bath, fresh bandages, a glass of wine, a good night's sleep. And so hope in unexpected places like a feeding trough in it for a cattle in Bethlehem, the road to Emmaus, the Speaker of the House podium, the Black Lives of UU movement, the brave women of hashtag MeToo. It's not something we're altogether unfamiliar with, this hope. We can easily remember that when our hearts are light and everything is awesome. But we know it's not all beauty and light and laughter in the world right now. And it would be dishonest to pretend. I confess to you that I have sometimes been so invested in my story of hopelessness that I couldn't recognize your divinity when you walked right beside me. I didn't expect you to be so ordinary, so broken, and so good all at once. And maybe you didn't expect that you could be those things for each other. And I want to see you, my fellow travelers, through the eyes of someone who is open to believe that you might be the miracle, even when I don't expect it. I hope for us to begin more and more to see exactly that in each other's eyes. I hope we can see it in the spirit of Central and South American refugees, in the spirit of the new leaders emerging to transform our own beloved faith, our own nation, in those of you who have been here for the long haul, in those here of you here who are new. I hope that as we journey together toward warm spring, that the veil is lifted from our eyes, and as Jesus' friends eventually did, we exclaim to each other in awe, how did we not know? Did not our hearts burn within us? And we'll finally see each other for the miracles that we truly are. I trust that we will make it so. Amen.